Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and now largest segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, and for those of you who are beginning to wake up to the realization that the military is more corrupt than any institution of man, that each of these human constructs is counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. If you're one waiting in line to go see American Sniper, this show is not for you, because you are not prepared to even process what we are going to say over the next 2 hours. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion, and you're free to try to challenge my positions, and I would warn you that they are not mine alone. The positions that I take on this show are consistent with those presented in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. That number is toll-free, 877-300-7645. It is astonishing how stupid so many people remain. One of the most deceptive, one of the least intelligent men on the planet today is Pope Francis. He held a series of religious events in the Philippines over the weekend. Of course, climaxing his event on the pagan day of sun god worship, Sunday. And it is estimated that 6 million people gathered in monsoon rains to listen to this man deceive them. It is astonishing, the grip of religion, and how people are unable to tell that the man who and his church are diametrically opposed to God, that their positions and God's are the opposite of one another, that they're so opposed to God they won't even allow his name, Yahweh, to be used in any of their churches or any of their official ceremonies. They are so opposed to God that they have created a religion that is wholly in opposition to him. They condemn his Torah, and yet they embrace the Quran. This is a pope that made the announcement that it is inappropriate to satirize a religion. Now, if that being the case, then, according to the Catholic Church, God is inappropriate because he does with great regularity. Even their Jesus, the actual Yahusha, was biting in his cynical criticism of religion and used satire to expose and condemn them. If you don't think so, read Matanya Matthew 23 sometime and see just how vile Yahusha viewed religion, and particularly the integration of religion and politics. But he did not speak on his own accord. He is the diminished manifestation of Yahweh, and Yahweh spends about a third of his Torah and Prophets, Inc., criticizing, exposing, and condemning religion. It all boils from up and seeps up from what was conceived in Babylon, which Yahweh directly associates with Hasatan, the adversary, Satan, through his prophet Yeshaya, Isaiah. And throughout this, Yahweh begins by telling us that if we want to have a relationship with him, we must first and foremost walk away from religion. So 100% of those who thronged in the monsoon rains to be deluged with disgusting diatribes of Roman Catholicism are currently separated from God. And the chance that any one of them will eventually reject their religion, that will come to their senses, who will actually compare what God said in his Torah, Prophets, and Psalms to what that pathetic man known as Pope Francis told them, the number is probably less than 1 in 1 million of them. I would be shocked if 6 of the 6 million come to know him. They were, of course, worshippers. God does not want to be worshipped. Man does. And so, as they shouted, "We love you, Papa Francis," the man was being worshipped, the institution was being worshipped, not God. God is unknown in that environment. He said, the Pope, that he was there to promote peace in the world, and yet the Roman Catholic Church was born in blood. It became the living legacy of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire and its legacy, the Roman Catholic Church, is the most vicious beast, the least peaceful institution in human history. That, again, is not my opinion. That's God's. Read Daniel. Read the early chapters of Daniel, where God provides a short history of the world, where he provides a history of evil, of the beasts, of mankind's worst, Babylon, Persia, Alexander the Great's Greece, Rome, and then the Roman Catholic Church. And in this analysis, where all of these empires, all of these institutions, man, are presented as vicious, as counter to God, God says that by far the worst is that which grows out of the Roman Empire, Roman Catholicism. The very book that this imposter holds up, claiming that he is the vicar on earth of that God, condemns him and his institution, and keeps 100% of those who show allegiance to them, who worship them, from heaven. The Pope's message included one where he talked about showing empathy. He said, "In these days, throughout my visit, I have listened to you sing, 'We are all God's children,' he said. 'We are all God's children, members of God's family.'" That might be his opinion. It isn't God's. God only has very few children. To be a child of God, one has to be a member of the covenant. But it's the very covenant and the very Torah that Roman Catholicism and Christianity as a whole ignores, preferring their new testament, their new covenant, the Pauline covenant, which is wholly disassociated with the Torah and its covenant. Just think of how stupid that would be, that all of the children are God's children. So the suicide bombers are God's children. Nice job, God. So the little girls being kidnapped and raped by the Islamic State, by Boko Haram, are God's children. Boy, you're really dad on duty, God. So all of the repulsiveness, the lewdness, the complete lack of judgment and intelligence that permeates our world because our children are being indoctrinated in socialist, secular, humanist, political correctness. That these people who can't even think, who are incapable of being moral, but don't even know how to treat one another, much less how to engage in a relationship with God, are God's children. So God is totally indiscriminate. It doesn't matter how vile you are. It doesn't matter how opposed to him you are. You're still his child. What's the purpose of choice? What's the purpose of anything? Why bother to provide any instruction? If everyone is born as God's children, then it doesn't matter who God is, does it? Doesn't matter if he's Shiva or Allah or the Lord or Satan. Doesn't matter if he masquerades as a pope or an imam. Doesn't matter if he's the disgusting and vile deity of the Quran or the meaningless gibberish of Hinduism. Doesn't matter if he's not even a deity, as in the case of socialist secular humanism and Buddhism. Just think of how stupid that statement is. And yet, we've reached a point in time, ladies and gentlemen, where we are so lost that a man like this, who says something that is obviously irrational is worshipped. 6 million people throng to him, claim they love him in a monsoon rain. Incapable of recognizing that he's lying to them. They've come to prefer the lie. How do words, how does reason, how do these things resonate with people this indoctrinated, this incapable of exercising judgment? When the most vicious institution, the most counterproductive institution in human history, Roman Catholicism, growing out to the most vicious empire in human history, Rome, stands up there and pretends to speak for peace, and people swoon. Claims that all of the world's children are God's children, and he has the title of Father, as if they're his children. And yet, Yahushua himself said, don't call anyone Father. Don't call them Rabbi. Now, at the time, it's interesting that while there were many rabbis at the time, and Yahushua, therefore, was condemning the use of rabbi, at first blush, you would think, well, they don't call anyone Father, for there is only one Father. That would be Yahweh, or Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. You would think that would be a prophetic statement, because Roman Catholics, of course, base their religion on being called Father. Even priests are called Father, and the Pope is, of course, the Latin word for Father, and he is called the Holy Father. And yet, it wasn't prophetic. Oh, sure, there may have been a prophetic implication that the two worst religions in human history, worst in the sense of corrupting God's message, Rabbinic Judaism and Roman Catholicism, were both listed, don't call anyone rabbi, don't call anyone father. But guess who was called Papa, Pope, during this time? During the very time that Yahushua used these words. Augustus. Caesar. Augustus. And most all of the Caesars after him not only called themselves God, but had people swear to them as if they were Father. This Pope, after telling... underscoring this false notion that all of us are God's children, members of God's family, which isn't even remotely true. In fact, there's not a single Roman Catholic that's part of God's family, and the Pope most certainly isn't part of God's family. God himself said, don't call anyone Father, because he alone is our Father. And that's the bottom line here. It's the moment somebody takes a position that is the antithesis of Yahweh's, while claiming to speak for God, they are a false prophet. You only get one shot at that, at being wrong. And the title alone, beyond the fact that the entirety of his diatribe is inaccurate, as is this notion that all of us are God's children. Not a single person in that 6 million audience, not one, including the speaker, as part of God's family, and many of them, including all of the clergy, are going to get an express ticket to Sheol, to what they would refer to as hell. He then said, young people especially need extra care. Jesus himself needed to be protected, he said. Well, beyond the fact there was no Jesus, and if you're not smart enough to realize there was no Jesus, if you're not smart enough to realize that you can't choose God's name for him, particularly when he has a name. His name is Yahweh. Yahusha simply means Yahweh saving us. If you're not smart enough to know that God wrote his name 7,000 times in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, if you can't use the spelling of Torah to properly pronounce Yahweh's name, I can't help you. But I can tell you for certain, no matter if you're dealing in Latin or in Greek, or in English, there is no Jesus. There never was a Jesus. And if you don't know his name, I can assure you, you do not know him. And he did not need to be protected. Now, you might fixate, as the Roman Catholics do, it's two time and their false God's life, their Jesus Christ's life. Once when he was a baby and protected by his mother, because they just love the Madonna and child. Her statuary, in violation of the second instruction that God etched on the first of those two tablets, has a prominent place in every one of their churches. Another name for an institution that is wholly pagan. God does not have a church. There's nothing even remotely akin to church found in his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, or even in the Greek manuscripts of the Christian New Testament. Now, as you think about the fact that he is presented as a baby in the care of his mother, a situation that God speaks almost nothing of. One reference to being born of a virgin in Yashaya, a brief notation of him tabernacling with us in John, which means that the child was born on Sukkah, as you would expect God to do, not Christmas, the pagan holiday. And a brief description of the time in Matanyah. But nothing is said that is useful. Nothing. There's nothing about his youth other than him focusing on his real father, our father, Yahusha, and him in his youth doing what we all are encouraged to do, which is observing the Torah. There's really nothing that is known about him in his youth. And so the whole Roman Catholicism fixation on his youth is absolutely meaningless. Now, yes, there's a reference to him going into Egypt because Herod was a bad boy. But the fact of the matter is, that reference was only made because just as Yahweh had freed the covenant's children, the Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, from Egypt, liberating them from Egypt, Yahweh wanted to symbolically represent this same liberation of the covenant's children. Which is why he went and then returned from Egypt, following the example of Yisrael. It's a connection, of course, that this pope would be incapable of making. This is the same pope that when Netanyahu said he spoke Hebrew, he corrected him and said, no, he spoke Aramaic. But in fact, he spoke Hebrew. It's a language that the pope despises. It happens to be the language of God. If you don't understand Hebrew, you do not understand him. Yahusha did not need to be protected. We'll be back after the commercial break. Ah, yes, and as the Popemobile left the capital in the Philippines, in Manila, those who are indoctrinated beyond thought jumped over the barricades and ran after his vehicle. We love you, Papa Francisco, they yelled as they ran after him. He has become their God. He has become their God. And I want to tell you, man, that man isn't playing with a full deck. Reuters is reporting that at least five people were murdered on Saturday in protests in Niger against Charlie Hebdo's cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. One of these days, there just is a chance that some news organization is not going to put a capital P, prophet, before Muhammad. Just a chance. But Muhammad was not a prophet. Read the damn Quran. You know, if you're a journalist, do your job. The Quran itself acknowledges that he could not predict the future, that he was incapable of any miracle. The Quran acknowledges that he was not a prophet. There are no prophecies in the Quran, no predictions whatsoever. distinguishes the Quran from the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the things that Yahweh says proves my authorship, is that everything that is said in my name by someone claiming to speak for me, if they are in fact inspired by me, their utterances will be filled with prophecies, all of which come true 100% of the time. Yahweh's Torah, prophets, and Psalms are filled with thousands of prophecies, all of which have come true or are in the process of coming true as we speak. There are no prophecies in the Quran. None. Muhammad attempted prophecies in the Hadith. His primary prophecy in the Hadith was about the Day of Doom, when he said that 500 years after his death, that the Day of Doom would occur, and that would be the end of the world. Well, he died around 622, 500 years, 1122 CE. Methinks the man missed it, not by a little, but by a lot. He wasn't a prophet. I mean, he's not even a prophet in the sense of Nostradamus, that through the vagueness of his utterances in hindsight appears to have gotten some small percentage of what he wrote down accurate, but only through hindsight and only a tiny percentage. Most are gibberish. Most never materialized as he presented them. And prophecy, if you're speaking for God, is an exact science. You're right 100% of the time, or you're not a prophet. He was not a prophet. He was never right. So it's not the prophet Muhammad. The authorities said that the death toll from 2 days, and this is of the Charlie Hebo taking the approach, and this is just stupid on their part. It just shows how ignorant Charlie Hebo is, and the editorial staff of Charlie Hebo, that which remains of it. That you have a tearful Muhammad mourning, tearful, saying, "I am Charlie." No, he's not. Muhammad himself was in a position to deal with the exact kind of comment that was made of him in the Charlie Hebdo magazine. We're told 3 times in the Hadith as to how Muhammad dealt with satirical criticism. All 3 times, the critics were women. They were all poets, which were the only means of media of the day because there was no written Arabic at the time. And all 3 satirized Muhammad. And so Muhammad, each of the 3 times, ordered the first Muslims to go murder them. And they did. And in the process of murdering them, he told the Muslims that they are authorized to lie. They're authorized to deceive. And 2 of the 3 cases, the Muslim murderers, acting deceptively, doing exactly what they do today, lying to the media about who they really are and what their religion is all about, killed the poet, the journalist, the cartoonist in today's realm, with knives, close range, while she slept with her young children, 2 of which had children nursing, and they murdered her. 3 times, chronicled in the Hadith. On 1 of the 3 times, the murderers who were murdering journalists on behalf of Muhammad came to Muhammad and said, "You know, we feel a sense of guilt here. You know, this is before they had been completely corrupted by the most vicious disease in human history, Islam." And so we feel a sense of guilt. I mean, we drove a knife through the heart of a woman who was nursing a child. And Muhammad said, "You should feel no remorse. It's no more meaningful to Allah than 2 goats banging heads." So there is no chance that Muhammad would have wept over this. He would have cheered it. He authorized it. He inspired it. He encouraged it. He sanctified it. The murder of anyone who speaks ill of him. He would never associate with the media. He was never a proponent of free speech. He said anyone who said anything that was contrary to what he said must be killed. He's very much like Paul. Paul said anyone who has a message different than his own, that person must be condemned in a ruthless way. So their portrayal of Muhammad was stupid. Now, was their portrayal of Muhammad as a sex fiend accurate? Yes. But it's only accurate if you prove from the Hadith and the Quran that Muhammad was, in fact, a sexual pervert. That he engaged in rape. That he engaged in pedophilia. That he engaged in incest. That he was a sexual pervert. And if you show the Quran statements and the Hadith statements demonstrating that Muhammad was a sexual pervert, then depict him as such. But only in the context of the truth. Otherwise, what good does it do? It inflames without reason. When you show Muhammad in a cartoon inspiring terrorism, all good and well. Muhammad inspired 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. The Quran in Yathrib, today's Medina, is a declaration of war against all humankind, beginning with Jews, continuing through Meccans, Arabs, and then lastly, Christians. And so if you're going to depict Muhammad as inspiring jihad terrorism and the murderous and needless deaths of thousands, if not millions, then cite the Quran and Hadith statements where Allah and Muhammad acknowledge being mass murderers, where they acknowledge being ruthless terrorists. Cite them. So there's a connection. Otherwise, you're just being inflammatory. Truth only prevails if you're informed. Charlie Hebo is not informed. Most of their attacks on the right, conservatives, most of their attacks on religion were born out of ignorance. They were no more enlightened, they were no more reasonable, they were no more informed than were the bozos, the idiots, that chased after the Pope Mobile. We love you, Papa! Zealots, without evidence, without reason. It is astonishing also that the world would attempt, particularly politicians and journalists, even members of the Islamic clergy in Europe, attempt to disassociate the Muslims who murdered not only the journalists, but also the Jews in the kosher market, as well as the Muslims who had perpetrated the three terrorist acts in the weeks prior from Islam, as they all attempted to do. And yet, what is the Islamic world doing? Whether it's in the West Bank or in Gaza, in Pakistan or in Niger, in Nigeria and in Yemen, throughout the Islamic world, there are riots where Muslims are enraged, not condemning the murderers, not commending those Muslims who took the lives of innocent people. No, they're enraged at the magazine. The corruptive nature of Islam is so extreme. Far worse than even Roman Catholicism. I mean, it's true that those Roman Catholics, all 6 million of them, couldn't think their way out of any situation that required the processing of evidence and the use of reason. Muslims are not only corrupted beyond reason, they're enraged. Their God is about deception, about death, about killing. Their God is a committed terrorist. And so when Roman Catholics are misled, deceived, they simply worship a man, express their love to a man, sacrifice their own souls, their children's souls, but they aren't continuing to kill others as the church once did. Yes, I know that they raped little boys, but if you look at Islam, when they're deceived, they're enraged. And when they're enraged, they murder. It's a much more deadly disease. It not only kills those infected by it, but everyone exposed to it. We'll be back. According to this Reuters report, fired tear gas into crowds throughout the Muslim world as stone-throwing Muslim youths set fire to churches, and they looted shops. Set fire to churches, and they looted shops. Think about that. Muslims so stupid, so grotesquely immoral, so incapable of exercising discretion. When their prophet is correctly presented as a sexual pervert and a terrorist, as a man inspiring mass murder, which is all he did, that was his entire, well, I shouldn't say that. There were three aspects of Muhammad's life, not just the two. Yes, he was a sexual pervert, and many of his terrorist raids were established so that he and his men could rape the women that they captured. And yes, he justified, he used his religion to justify his grotesque fascination with pedophilia, even incest. And yes, Muhammad had bloodlust. And anyone who wouldn't capitulate to him, he killed. And he was a ruthless terrorist. All those things are true. But Muhammad was also covetous of money, of wealth. And almost all of his terrorist raids, if not all of them, started out and continued to be armed robbery. And so he was also a thief. And so correctly depicting Muhammad, and it's too bad that far too people do what IQ al-Rasuli has done, which is to present Islam as a crime syndicate, because it is the best, most accurate, most relevant depiction of Islam, is a crime syndicate, because that's how it was born. That's what it has, that's what it grew up as under Muhammad, as armed robbery. All of his terrorist raids were against civilians for the purpose of armed robbery and forcible enslavement of children and the rape of the women that they captured. That really is the nature of the religion. And these idiots that are now burning churches and looting shops said they offended our prophet Muhammad. That's what we didn't like. So they're justifying what they're doing. They're not offending Muhammad. Muhammad is dead, A. B, he wasn't a prophet. C, it was Muhammad who was offensive. And their problem here is that when Muhammad is correctly presented, it destroys their religion. And they can't process that. They're unwilling to process the fact that they have the founder of a religion that was amongst the most perverted and disgusting people in human history. We have Kirk on the line. Kirk, I am just disgusted by this, that Muslims are rioting around the world, burning churches, looting shops, claiming that they were the victims as opposed to the perpetrators of mass murder.
Well, you know, if you don't believe that stealing is wrong or killing or all those things are, then you can just act out on any given cause. I mean, they're doing it is almost like, I'm sure some of them are doing it almost like an excuse. It's like when there are riots in the streets for any matter.
Right.
You know, let's just take advantage of this and go steal something or go kill somebody or hurt somebody.
Yeah, four people were burned alive inside of this.
Enraged.
You know, four people burned alive inside of the churches. What did they do? I mean, it's why Islam cannot be allowed on earth. It is a criminal enterprise. It's murderous. It's sadistic. It's the sponsor of 99.9% of the world's terror. It needs to be identified as a criminal enterprise and shut down.
Well, you know, I had a thought on that. It took me a while, but the last few weeks where you've been saying quite a lot, quite often that, you know, Islam is an organized criminal syndicate. And IQ, you know, I was listening to IQ, and y'all both agreed on that, and I understood that on superficially, and then I kept thinking about it, and it's, you know, it goes deeper than that. We are the ones that financed them. We're the ones that enrich them.
Right.
So, I mean, we're aiding
and abetting and profiting from, by the way, this crime
scene. Well,
we're not selling them, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars of weapons for nothing.
No.
We're not engaged with their oil trade for nothing. We are financially benefiting from and a co-conspirator in this crime syndicate as the United States.
Yeah. You know, I'm not – well, we're about to go to break, but
Yeah, you know, and we have Glenn who called in just a minute after you did, Kirk. I do want to hear also from Glenn. I hope both of you can stay on through the top of the hour. And we'll continue this discussion and then move on to what God had to say about Paul. Please stay with us as we listen to the news and then return to Shattering This.